Hey, yo, what it do? It's your big homie, Bobby Dollars, and I would love, 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 love to bring y'all back to a new episode of the Bobby Dollars Show. Today, I have a special, special guest, man. I'm talking about, like, my first celebrity interview. Oh, my God, if I had some bells or some whistles, Jesus Christ. Hey, look, I got an avid sports fan, father, husband, and he also just happens to be the mayor of Oklahoma City. Oh, my God. Like, not too important, I guess. I mean, but damn, you know, the mayor, you know. Hey, I want to introduce everybody today to David F. Hope, the mayor of Oklahoma City. How you doing, Mr. Mayor? How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Man, that is, hey, thank you for coming to the show. Like, I am super excited, man. I'm actually kind of nervous. This is the first time I've been on time. Hey, this is pretty cool. So, we'll jump right in, man. I just basically needed to ask right off, like, how's the family, man? With this new normal and this COVID and everything going, how's the kids? How's the wife? You know, everybody?
Yeah, well, we're just in our sixth month of spring break now. And things are going well.
Hey, that's pretty awesome. You say 6 months, right? I kind of feel that when my kids are old now, so I don't have to worry about it. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, wow, you know, when is this spring break going in? Yeah.
We're you know, my kids are 10 and 8, and we're still mostly home. My wife's been going to the office a little bit more the last few weeks. Okay. I usually only go to City Hall every other Tuesday for council meetings.
Okay.
And I have another job as well, but you know, I try to get there a little bit here and there, but no, I mean, we're oftentimes just here at home, but it seems to be okay. Kids are at a good age for it. Okay. I guess they've adapted well. Yeah, they're gonna start school virtually on Monday.
So. Yeah, I would say I'm sure they're happy to be at home, like to see you guys every day, all day. So I'm sure you're real busy. So,
well, they're at an age still, yeah, where that may still be true. You know, they're 10 and 8. So yeah. I don't know if they were 16 and 14 if they would want.
They would never want to hang out. My kids never wanted to hang out, like, because I was a coach and I coached the majority of the teams and did a lot of physical training for the high schools and stuff. You know, that's why me and my son bonded like we did, you know, but yeah. Otherwise, and my daughter too, you know, but otherwise, you know. But so to my understanding, you're born and raised in OKC.
Yeah.
You attended Putnam City Public Schools.
Okay.
That's
a school district. There's not really a Putnam City, but there is a school district in Oklahoma City called Putnam City Schools, and that's where I went.
That's awesome. Okay, so were you into sports in high school? Like, I played football all my life, so you know, how about you?
My dad was not really into sports, and oftentimes that's where you might pick up that sort of thing. And I was an only child growing up, so I did not really. I mean, I played little league stuff and a little bit of soccer, you know. Okay. But no, by as far as school goes, I never played on any school teams. I wasn't even really a sports fan, and no. It was when I was a junior in high school, I was spirit vice president of the student council. So I came to it through okay. politics.
I got you.
And I, as being in that role, I was in charge of the pep assemblies. And so I got to follow our football team, and they went to the state championship that year. And, you know, I got really hooked. So yeah. Suddenly I was like a super sports fan. I ended up being the sports editor of my college paper at George Washington University.
Oh,
so
wow.
I went from never having seen a Super Bowl to being sports editor of a college paper in like 4 years. I got into it fast.
So you were like OKC's Drake, 0 to 100 real quick, right? Hey, that's pretty cool though, Mr. Mayor. Like, a lot of people don't find their niche right away, you know, and mm-hmm. then when you finally do, you'd be surprised at how much you love it, you know. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
The other thing was growing up, I read that your mom was a teacher and a social worker, and in turn, you became a lawyer. I see that becoming a lawyer, it comes with a list of accomplishments as well, like a trustee of the U.S. Conference of Mayors and 10 outstanding young Americans under the age of 40. I like that, according to JCA USA. So you're a husband, a father. And then as of April 2018, you became the 36th mayor of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I mean, you're a pretty awesome dude, man. You think your kids will end up like jumping into politics and stuff like that because of their upbringing?
Oh, who knows? You know, I didn't come from a political family. I never had anybody in my family who'd ever run for office. They were definitely civil servants. My dad was a teacher. My mom was a social worker. My maternal grandfather was career Army, you know, so they were involved in civic life, but okay. Yeah, never political office. So I don't know if it's hereditary or not. We shall see, I guess. I want them to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was too. Like I know I own a couple businesses, but it's like sometimes you wonder, will your children ever want to follow in your footsteps? And then as they grow, sometimes you say, no, I don't want them to follow. I don't want them to do anything I was doing, especially mine, you know, so I definitely understand. So, you know, behind that, let's see, I'm sure every single one of my listeners that lives in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, mm-hmm. they're going to want me to ask you this. I said I wasn't going to bother with it, but they're going to want to know. Okay. Would there ever be a consideration for running for the governor?
Oh, well, we'll see. You know, I only became mayor 2 years ago, you know, yeah. so I feel like I've got a little more life in this job still. You know, we'll see. One thing I love about Oklahoma City politics is that it's nonpartisan. You know, sometimes when I do national stuff, people will say my party, but I don't feel like that, you know, that allegiance to party. I feel like I serve all the people of Oklahoma City. Okay. And when you run for governor or any other office, you know, you have to run in these partisan primaries, and it just seems like people lose their minds. And they say all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah. So I want to serve on my terms. And right now I feel like the way I serve and the things I say, they're not beholden to any party or they're not trying to pander to some subset of the electorate, and I'd really hate to have to go down that road. So we'll see how it all goes. But yeah. For now, I mean, again, you know, I'm just getting started, really. I mean, I'll have a mayoral reelection in 2022, and yeah. My presumption today is that that's what I'll do for a while.
Okay, that's awesome. Now, like I said, I'm sure they were going to want to hear that, but it just sounds like to me, from my standpoint on the outside looking in, it just sounds like you're more into the purity of the politics versus all of the hoopla and the extra and the showmanship, you know?
Yeah, you know, I like to think I'm in it for the right reasons, you know, for true public service. I got to work in the White House and did some really cool things really early on in my career and kind of got a lot of things out of my system. You know, I mean, to me, it's just service now. And if the people don't need me, then that's fine. I'll do something else, you know, I don't need this. Once you don't need it anymore, you know, like once you truly feel that you could walk away from it, it's very liberating. Yeah. It's also ironically makes you more attractive as a candidate. You know, it's funny.
Yeah, like, yeah, I understand.
When you stop caring and be, you know, about re-election more than anything, and people can tell that, they actually want to elect you more. It's funny.
it's more of a reverse psychology type of thing, but at the same time, I absolutely understand, you know, because you kind of, from what my standpoint, from when I read a lot of the ad campaigns and read a lot of things that you do, I do follow you on Twitter, and I see some of the groundbreakings and things like that you do. You seem more of a humanitarian-ish type of mayor versus you know, just a mayor that's there saying, hey, we're going to follow these rules, we're going to set these standards, and we're going to get reelected, you know. So I definitely understand what you're saying, and I think that's what drew me to you, that and the fact that you like OKC Thunder basketball. You know,
well, I think it's important to be honest, just be yourself, be authentic, and not pander, you know, just be who you are. I mean, and I feel like who I am and what I stand for, reflects the vast majority of the people of Oklahoma City. And I don't care that it may not reflect the 10% on either end of the ideological spectrum, you know, right. Because I don't think that's where most people are anyway.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. Okay. Well, moving along. Okay. Let's get some real talk here, man. Let's talk some basketball.
Please.
Now the question that I have to ask you, okay. And this is something that's been plaguing me ever since I sat in that suite with you that day, me and my wife, I want to know, have you ever had an opportunity to like sit down with Sam Presti or any of the players or like the coaches or anything, and not necessarily like give them game, but say like, you know, hey man, we appreciate what you're doing here in the city, you know, like just hang out, have dinner, barbecue, something like that, you know?
Well, okay, so I mean, there's different levels to this, you know, the ownership, the management, and the players. And the ownership, you know, has been a part of our community for a very long time. So I've worked with Clay Bennett on all kinds of different things over the last 15 years. Sam has been in town now since the beginning, since 2008. So yeah, I know I've spent many visits with Sam through the years. You know, I would usually about civic stuff, you know, I would never presume to say much about basketball, you know, but sometimes, I mean, if I run into him and something interesting has happened, you know, with the team in the last few weeks, I may prod a little bit, you know, to get a little bit of background on it. But, and then as far as the players go, you know, that's an ever changing thing.
Yeah,
and, you it's know, a business. I mean, like it's hard to get too close because they're always, you know, they're often coming and going.
That's true.
Really, you're least likely to get to know or run into players, but you know, as the mayor, you do, you know, oftentimes at least make connections a little bit. I mean, I know, you know, CP and Gallinari well enough to text with them occasionally, and Baisley even reached out at one point. So
that is so awesome.
I've texted with him as well, but no, I mean, we don't like hang out or anything. You know, probably the player through the years that I would say I know the best and really have had dinner with and things, probably Cantor, you know. He's a very gregarious guy, you know, so that's why we all love him so much. But yeah, that's probably, if you go back, through the whole 12 years, Cantor's probably the player I'm closest to. Okay. Had mutual friends with PG, and that was nice because my son's named George, so he really was all about PG. So we got to, you know, like George got to meet him after the game on his birthday one year and
that's
stuff
awesome.
Like that.
Yeah. You know? That is so cool. Yeah, me personally, I'm more of an entrepreneurial mind, more of a business oriented kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's something that I would love, like actually getting an opportunity to sit down with the GM genius. Oh my god, like that's like up there where I am right now with you, you know, like he's been doing such a an elite job in his office. You know, like that is just, oh man, it's unprecedented the way he moves and the business aspect of it, you know.
I know, I mean, every time it seems like there's an insurmountable challenge. He pulls the rabbit out of his hat. And, you know, look at what we're doing this year. I mean, regardless of how the year ends, we've had a better regular season record with this team than we did with the supposed superstar team we had a year ago.
Yes. So when you step into things with no expectations, then everybody tends to work a lot harder and work a lot better together, you know. But when you have expectations, everybody's goals aren't the same. So, you know, I will say, speaking of the players, like we all knew that KD was leaving and that's water under the bridge. And honestly, I understood, you know, because like I said, I'm a business guy. So I absolutely understand the business. I think when Russ left, you know, everybody kind of felt a certain kind of way. How did it make you feel like when Woj dropped that bomb, like Russ is signing with Houston, he's gone.
Well, remember the whole path towards that moment. I mean, it was really the bomb that dropped was PG wanting to be traded you know, to the Clippers. And by the time we traded Westbrook to Houston, that was kind of understood that we were going to be trading him somewhere, you know,
right.
We were starting over again. You know, obviously I'd like to believe that contracts, you know, that the length of time that you sign a contract for means that you have mentally decided that commitment for that amount of time.
I said the same thing. I said it too. How do you just breach a contract? Like, oh my God, man, I'd still be paying lawyers right now trying to get out. That is crazy.
But I think, you know, I guess what I learned from that experience, and I think we handled it well in the way that we didn't, you know, make PG a pariah or anything, you know, we kind of focused more on the fact that he had signed with us in the first place than on the fact that he had asked for a trade. I think that the reality is today's superstars in the NBA just really look at everything year to year. They don't really, they know they have the leverage even when there's a contract. So even if their contract says 3 years, they don't really care. I mean, they just look at it as a commitment for this season, and it is what it is. So
yeah, well, it is.
It's worked out. Like I said, this is probably, if you ask any fan, you know, this is probably one of their top three or four out of the, you know, 12 or 13. I lose track, but however many we've had,
right?
This is probably one of their top three seasons. You know,
this is awesome. So, man. Yeah. So how far do you see us going in the bubble? Like, how far do you see us ending up? Like, if we wouldn't have stopped yesterday.
So when are you going to post this? Because obviously we are.
Well, with the pandemic, with everything that happened with, you know, Jacob Blake and everything, I kind of understand. I'm going to actually get the audio of this out ASAP. It'll be okay. It'll absolutely.
So as you and I are talking, literally, we're not even certain the playoffs are going to resume. But if they do, the Rockets and the Thunder are tied 2-2.
Yeah.
And so I'll just give you my answer as if the playoffs are coming back at some point in the next few days. You know, interestingly, this probably bought Westbrook more time to come back from his injury.
I said that too.
So it seems like, you know, the percentages are increasing that for these final, you know, basically we have a three-game series now with the Rockets, that in this three-game series, we're going to have to face Russ. And it's funny, you know, people are all over the map on that. Some people obviously are like, well, you know, that's bad for the Thunder. I mean, obviously he's an all-star player. And other people are like, man, he's so out of control. You know, it'll throw everything. The Rockets will be a hot mess. And we'll take advantage of it, you know. So who knows? But I'll tell you this. I mean, I think clearly if you look at the trend line of the series, we got blown out in game one. In game two, we led at halftime, but we couldn't hold on. In game three, we won in overtime. In game four, we won in regulation. It was like literally a perfect trend line. Every game we've done better than the last.
So
I like our chances in this series. Obviously, the whole Westbrook thing changes everything because now we're playing a different team than we did the first four games. So we'll see. But if Westbrook's off the table, I see us winning game five, and then I think, you know, it's very hard for the Rockets to come back.
Yeah, I do. I agree. I think if Russ comes back, we're going to go the whole seven. But if he doesn't come back, we'll take it. OKC will take it in six.
Wow.
We actually saw the real Rockets play in game four. We seen the real Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
You know, not the quote-unquote defensive juggernaut that everybody's talking about. But, so have you got a chance to be a virtual fan yet?
I did that for the first regular season game in Orlando.
Okay.
And I probably will do it again. It's fun. Have you done it?
Yeah. They sent me an invite. That was awesome. It actually was.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like a lot of work. I don't know if I want to do it every game.
Right.
You gotta, like, sit in front of your computer. You got to perform, you know.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we just want to look at our phone for a while, you know. But it's a good experience. Yeah, the NBA's done a fantastic job with this unusual situation.
Awesome. Okay, well, I only got a couple more questions for you. And just to finish it all out with the Thunder here, what do you think of their style of play right now with the three-headed monster here with that three-guard lineup and everything?
I think one of the reasons a lot of people like this team is, you know, it's a team, you know. There's, you don't know who's going to take the final shot.
Yes.
You know, you don't know who's going to be the hero today. like, look at, you know, Gallinari started strong in the series. He hasn't been so great the last couple games, but there's so many other weapons and other guys step up. I mean, you know, our sixth man was the leading scorer in game four. I mean, you know, I just love that about this team. So, I mean, you know, when you talk about style of play, to me, it's the ball movement and the sharing of the offense that I really like about him. And and Chris Paul has just become one of my all-time favorite players. I just love the veteran craftiness. I mean, I think the untucked jersey will go down as one of my favorite winning strategies in NBA history.
Yeah, I will admit I've never been a huge fan of Chris Paul ever, but when he came to OKC, I was willing to back down and be receptive and understand his type of play. And now I can't lie, I appreciate what he does. I mean, I absolutely do. I cannot deny it. But I think outside of Dre coming back and that excitement, I think the other thing that the Thunder is holding on to that is really been keeping us afloat is Lu Dort. Back in, I think it was maybe October, or maybe it was earlier than that, I kept saying Lu Dort was a hidden gem. I watched him play at Arizona State all the time on television, and he was a point guard. He was aggressive. He really played basketball. Like, he was a hooper. He wasn't a superstar. He wasn't a bench rider. He was an actual hooper. And oh my God, man, look at what he's done for us, you know, over these last three playoff games since he's come back, you know.
Well, he's the key because he's not shutting down Harden. That's impossible. But he is making life difficult for Harden and changing the Rockets' whole style of play.
Yes.
And it's remarkable. I mean, I don't understand, obviously, like everybody else, how he became so available. Why nobody else saw what we saw?
I don't know. That's Sam. I gotta sit down with Sam. I'm telling you. Okay, so the boycott, it's real. So we all know right now how effective it is and what's happening in America right at the present moment. Like, what are your thoughts on the boycott?
Oh, well, I think it was a great use of the platform that they've got, and it certainly got everybody's attention focused on this issue. I mean, this specific issue of the shooting in Wisconsin, I hope we all stayed focused on, you know, these equality issues that we've been talking about for the last 2.5 months. But it certainly got everybody back on it. And so I know I'm appreciative of it. I support what they've done. I think they should stay there. I mean, and even as we talk, that's been the breaking news, I guess, this morning, is that they probably are going to stay.
That's good.
I think they should stay, I mean, sure, I want to see basketball games, but the real reason I want them to stay is I just don't think they have the same platform unless they're there, you know?
Right.
I mean, and that's
right.
They got our attention last night because they were there. So I think every time, you know, we see their jerseys, every time they start an interview by talking about, you know, something that's on their heart, I mean, that's carrying the message out in a way that wouldn't otherwise occur.
That is the truth. Even though I can't stand Golden State Warriors, they were right when they said strength in numbers. So if they so if they stay here, they stay together, they can actually come together and create something of a sound mind together versus being in different cities all over the world and you know, or all over the country, and people can't focus on them because Jalen's over here and Justin's over there and Russ is over here. But when they're all in that bubble, they can really make some things happen. So I absolutely agree. You know, I wanted to ask, so are your kids playing any sports at the present moment? Like, do we see the mayor with a hat on the sideline coaching?
Well, one thing, I think I lack a skill, but I also lack the time. I've never been a coach, but I never miss a game if it's at all possible. Both kids play basketball and soccer and are pretty good at it.
That is pretty cool.
Maggie, our girl, she just tried softball for the first time in the last week or two, so we'll see how that goes. George, my son, I mean, they both seem to be they're really young, they're 10 and 8, but they both seem to be pretty good at basketball. George thinks he does, I'd say his shooting, I mean, he surprises me all the time.
That's cool.
I play him in the driveway, and I'm trying to let him win, and then sometimes I decide I'm not going to let him win, and then he wins anyways. And I'm like, well,
blame it on being tired. just tell him you're tired. Say you won today because I'm tired. I had a long day. That's how I do my kids anyway. But okay, so the last question I got for you, you know, finally is, I would love for you to tell all my listeners, and this is a question that I ask every interview that I have, because it's something that's pretty, pretty, I guess, inspiring. Tell, if you don't mind, my listeners about an experience, a person, a book, a time in your life, a moment of clarity that brought you here. What was it that made you become the man that you are today as the mayor of Oklahoma City?
Well, you know, I lost my mom at an early age. I was only 14, and she died very suddenly. My parents were divorced, and so I was primarily living with her. And, you know, I just think you find often that people who've lost a parent tend to be more driven in life, just because they, you know, they want, I don't know, they want to live for two people, I guess. Like, you know, make your life have some meaning to make up for the life that was cut short. So, you know, that's probably, if I had to pick one thing, you know, that's a... an experience in my life. That is awesome.
Hey, and I'm sure your mom is 190% proud of you right now, man, because you're doing things that I won't say it, but you're doing things that other people aren't doing right now. So thank you so much for everything. Well, keeping the city safe and, you know, actually having enough heart and compassion to look past the politics and everything that could be irrelevant at this moment, you know, because a lot of people actually depend on you, you know, Mr. Mayor, like on Twitter and all of that. Like, there's a lot of praise on Twitter, especially Thunder Twitter, about you and the things that you do and the stuff that you've accomplished. So from, I guess, their mouths, my heart to your ears, man, thank you. We absolutely appreciate who you are as a person, man. You're a great dude. Really.
Wow, you're very kind. Thank you very much. Thanks for the invite today. Thanks for being a great Thunder fan and a great fan of our city all the way from St. Louis.
So yeah, that very much. Second home. So you got any questions or anything for me today, or everything okay?
No, I mean, let me ask you one question. When did you become a Thunder fan? What's your Thunder story?
Oh, wow. I think what brought me to OKC was the fact, and I've said this, like when I did the interview with Brandon Rabara, I told him, I was a huge fan of Nina Earle, which became Nina Westbrook. And I used to watch her play basketball at UCLA. And one day I was watching her play, and I seen a guy in the audience, and he was going crazy over some rebounds or a shot she did or something. And the announcer said, "That's Russell Westbrook, you know, this, that, and the other, and he'll be taking over for Darren as he got hurt." And, you know, and I said, "Oh, I'm going to check him out." And that was all she wrote. From right there, I followed Westbrook from I followed him from UCLA to OKC.
Huh. So it started with Westbrook. That was what brought you to be a Thunder fan. Have you always lived in St. Louis this whole time?
Yeah. I'm born and raised.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Well, very interesting. Well, I'm glad we held on to you. I'm glad we didn't turn you to Houston.
Yeah, you know.
When Westbrook left.
Right, yeah. I'm a diehard organizational fan. Like, I love the actual organization. I've never been a player fan because, you know, I'm from the 90s era of basketball, and everybody played basketball back then. So it wasn't about one superstar. It was about an actual team, you know. So,
yeah,
I'm with you, man. 100% OKC forever. I mean, you see it on my wall and everything. Yeah. Like, this is just, I love the squad, man. Nobody will ever take that away from me.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you very much. And it's good to connect today. And I'll see you on Twitter.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you again, Mr. Mayor. And hey, be safe out here. And I want to appreciate, I'm sorry, I'm nervous still. Hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And again, it's been the Bobby Dollar Show. Have a good one.